So good to see you all. Believe or not, you are the closest group of people to me personally, because I mean, as you know, I'm the only one in here away from my family. Most of my family is in Korea. My sister and I spoke to each other last week, and they had a big gathering. You know, all our cousins and you know, big families gathered together and stuff. And of course, you know, I was the only one that was missing. But I have my family in here, so that's okay. I am so glad to see you all and pray that the Holy Spirit will visit us individually this morning as we worship, as we open our hearts to Him and hear Him speak to us, whispering to our ears, to our hearts, that we may receive the strength and encouragement from God's presence. I'm going to share with you a little bit of the personal side of my story today, and goes along with the message that God has placed in my heart. While Johnny, my second son, was in college in Boston, he met some Korean student there. And Johnny happened to notice that a pretty Korean girl kept staring at him in a classroom for some time. Becky asked him on the phone, "So did you approach and get to know her?" John said, "Mom, I'm not that easy. I know how to play games." Then, you know, suddenly the pandemic shut down the school, and Johnny did not have a single chance to get to know her. About a year ago, Becky, Johnny, and I were at Stater Bros near my home. A pretty cashier was looking at Johnny with a smile. The cashier apparently showed some interest in him. As we left the store, we asked Johnny if he noticed her look toward him. And of course, Johnny's response was the same. "I know how to play a game." We do not know the kind of game that Johnny plays, but the girl does not work there anymore. And Johnny's up in Seattle, of course. Becky said, "She might have eaten something wrong to have caused the brain damage to Johnny while she was pregnant with him. Or he got a dumb DNA from me." So figure that out. Becky and I had many fun memories of raising three kids, but it was not always the case. Esther was about 3 years old. I was working on the roof of gazebo in the backyard one day and heard Esther say, I mean, she was like, what, 3 years old. She said, "Hi, Dad." So I turned, and Esther's head was rising up on top of the leather. In a split second, I had to think of all possible scenarios of what could happen next. I did not want her to move one more move. There wasn't enough room for me to grab her steadily. So guess what happened? I jumped off the roof. Climbed back up and brought Esther down safely. I suffered from a slip disc for the next 6 months. For many years, I have been waiting for my kids to grow up and move out. And you know the reason. Becky and I are grateful, absolutely grateful, that the two boys are out of the house. Becky and my last project were Lucy, our kids' favorite dog, and Esther, who will graduate in less than a year. Becky and I have been telling each other that we will soon be free. Then, as some of you know, Lucy died about a couple of weeks ago. And surprisingly, my three kids are just fine about that situation, and I'm the one who is suffering from the loss. My house all of a sudden feels empty without Lucy, and I just don't like this emptiness syndrome. I began to have a wishful thinking about if Esther could find the job close by, and if she would not need to move out. We'll see what happened. We all have crosses to carry and wish that we will be free from them someday. But look at them from the other perspective. The burdens of life do not always give us pain. They often are the sources of joy. I mean, in my age at this point, I wish I could have enjoyed more of the raising kids and taking care of the dog. But it's kind of late. Now, let's look at the Word of God and see what God says about the joy of living that slips away because of our wrong attitude and lack of faith. As we know so well, Jesus came to suffer and be the sacrifice for our redemption. He had a very humble beginning, born in a manger. He faced the death threat immediately after his birth. He and his earthly parents had to move out of the country. He grew up in a poor community upon which people looked down. Satan tested him as he was about to launch his public ministry. He constantly faced threats from religious leaders. For the remainder of his earthly life, Jesus faced constant challenges. At last, he was wrongfully accused of and died the most gruesome death in the tree. So we understand the life of Jesus was filled with nothing but pain. Is this a correct understanding? No, it is not. Consider the other side of his life. Jesus had lasting joy. Before the first Christmas, an angel of the Lord appeared and told shepherd, "Do not be afraid. I'll bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Great joy for you and I. Because he was the very embodiment of God's joy. The Jewish calendar is filled with feasts to commemorate God's mighty works of salvation. Feasts were required by laws, and Jesus regularly participated in those celebrations. Even when Jesus faced the cross, Jesus celebrated the feast of Passover by having meals with his disciples. I mean, just think about it. You know, if you face some very serious situations, and that's going to happen, will happen within a month or within a week, would you have a good appetite? No. I mean, you would eat and then would have a male digestion. Or you would get so depressed. But Jesus, facing the cross, celebrated. Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame." The shame didn't matter. The pain of the cross didn't matter. Jesus saw the joy before that. Jesus brought joy to the world, taught that our life should be like feast. He saw joy even amid the excruciating pain of the cross. Now, the gospel lesson this morning describe Jesus enjoyed meals with tax collectors and sinners despite the criticism. I mean, you know, you want to go out lunch? We're going to go out lunch this Wednesday, and we enjoy this, you know, buffet meal once a month, right? You know, we get together. We just, you know each other. We all love each other. It's a very, you know, entertaining occasion. But, I mean, think about it. You are surrounded with some nasty people, right? Would you enjoy the meal? Jesus did. Jesus called Levi, another name for Matthew, while he sat in the tax booths. Jews regarded tax collectors as traitors, the worst sinners in Israel. They were Jews but worked for a foreign oppressor. And religious leaders could not comprehend Jesus calling a tax collector to be his disciples. They were appalled to see Jesus had dinner with a, not just one or two, large group of tax collectors. That's what the scripture said. There were a bunch of tax collectors sitting together with Jesus, eating with them. What's wrong? Jesus' association with tax collectors was not acceptable to any average Jew, more so to the religious leaders. So they complain, why does Jesus eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? To justify their complaint, they pointed out that John's disciples fasted and prayed often. An obvious contrast between John's disciples and Jesus and his followers. Jesus defended himself and said, the friends of the bridegroom cannot fast while he is with them. I mean, this is very important for us to note. The friends of the bridegroom cannot fast while he is with them. Is Jesus with us? Yes, he is. We are invited to a feast. Should we not celebrate? We should. But do we? A couple of chapters later in Luke's gospel, Jesus recognized what people said to him. He said, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Jesus recognized it. He came eating and drinking. And you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Well, Jesus did enjoy eating and drinking. He did. Loved using illustration and parables with feast. In Jesus' parable of the prodigal, the father was thrilled to have his son return home and threw a wild party. Jesus explained how happy our Heavenly Father would become when a sinner repents. The parable doesn't say it, but we can picture that the returned prodigal continued to enjoy the life in his father's house. And this is how we Christians should live. Enjoy the life in Father's house. However, in actuality, only some choose to celebrate life, as in the following parables of the wedding feast. In Matthew 22, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven with a king's wedding banquet for his son. The king prepared a banquet and invited guests, but those who were invited refused to come. So the king sent his servant to street corners and invited anyone they could find. In Matthew 25, Jesus gave the parable of the 10 virgins to explain the kingdom of heaven. They were getting ready for the wedding, but only 5 of them had a chance to go into the feast because the other 5 fell asleep when the bridegroom arrived. Only 5 wise ones prepared the oil in their lamp.
Great food was prepared for the memorable occasion, but some of the invited guests did not get to enjoy the feast because they had issues. They had attitude problems. They had lacked wisdom. Isn't this true? God has invited us to the feast that He prepared, but we do not get to enjoy the feast because we have some issues. We lack wisdom. We lack faith. Let me illustrate what I mean with the illustration that you maybe all of you may know by this time. You know, we just installed a movable partition in the fellowship hall, right? And because it's completed, I can share with you candidly what went on, okay? I began researching about it in the spring of last year. I contacted some contractors here and got ideas about the options and prices to replace the old accordion doors. After realizing the church could not afford to hire contractors for it, I decided to find the manufacturer in China and import it myself. Like so many projects that I have worked on, the project was completely new to me, and I had a lot of questions about if it was something that I could handle. After about a dozen times to measure dimensions, I was not sure if I had got them correctly. What if the finished product did not fit and there was no option of returning it? After I finalized the design, I wondered if the manufacturer could produce a quality product. What if they are a fraudulent company, since I did not know them? After the manufacturer finished the project, I learned that the company never handled the shipping to Long Beach. They could not help me clear customs. With new import regulations by Homeland Security, going through customs became very complicated. If I could not get it through the customs on time, I was told that we would be charged fine as high as $5,000. Thankfully, customs were all cleared, barely within the deadline, and I went to pick up the cargo with the U-Haul truck. And it turns out that the partitions were so heavy, and I began to worry about if the building structure could handle 500 pounds on each room. You know, we have two rooms in the back of the fellowship hall. Contractors advised me there was no need to worry about the weight, but I wasn't sure, and I had to wait until they came back from Alaska. And, you know, I'm very, try to be thorough, but very doubtful. They showed me by drilling holes into the beam and said, well, there's about that much thickness of the beam, and it could hold the weight without any issue. I couldn't believe that, so I had to drill the hole myself. I even said to him that if the beam would sag later on, he should take the blame, not me, right? He and I often argue about who is more stubborn, right? And don't tell him, I think I am more stubborn than he is, but I tell him he is more stubborn than I am. About a year and a half later, the partitions are installed and look so beautiful, and I am so happy about that. Yes, I know. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, not me. Thank the Lord. It was a bit too late to learn that God led me into the right manufacturer, a right import broker among hundreds of them a Christian, a devout Christian, right people to install the partitions. The point is, I could have simply trusted in God's guidance, enjoy the whole process from the beginning to the end. But what did I do? I chose the other route and kept on questioning and doubting. Jesus made our life a feast with his presence. But enjoying the feast is up to us. Like a doubting Thomas, we can choose to deny the risen Christ with us. Or we can rejoice by trusting in God's goodness and faithfulness. Jesus came into our life and made our life beautiful. If you don't believe it, go check out the petition and see how beautiful it looks. Let us celebrate life in Christ. Amen.